Amen. God is good, and He's good all the time. I'm thankful to be in His house. I'm thankful to be in His presence. I'm thankful to be with our church family this morning. I want you to know we've done everything that we can do to try to make you comfortable. If you're a hot-natured person, then you probably need to sit over here on this side. If you're more cold-natured, we've got the fans off, you probably need to sit on that side. And so we try to create a very comfortable environment for you. And so we just are thankful for everything that God is doing. If you've come in here this morning and you're troubled, I want to tell you that God knows exactly where you're at. If you've come in here this morning and you're brokenhearted, I want to tell you that I serve a God that He still is mending broken hearts. And I want to tell you, if you've come in here and you don't feel quite well, I want to tell you that the last time that I checked, that we still serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We still serve the great physician. And so He says that by His stripes we are healed. That's a present tense thing for all you English people that like to have your pretenses correct. We are healed. We walk in healing. And so I'm just thankful for all that He's done. And I'm grateful to be here. You know, we took a little bit of time this week, and we went as a family, and we had a little vacation. And how many of you know that that's important to set aside family time? The devil is trying to split and divide families of every kind, whether that's a church family, whether that's a family dynamic. See, the devil comes but to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He doesn't need any new tricks because those same tricks are still working. Amen. And so we went away and we went to Branson. And yes, I wore my mask everywhere. And we were sitting there and we went to the Dolly Stampede, formerly known as the Dixie Stampede. How many of y'all ever been there? Let me tell you something. Them folks serve you like a 7-course meal. I've been 3 times this year, and I've loved every minute of it. And out of all the things I've spent money on this year, that's one of the things that I feel the best about. They give you a whole chicken, a pork chop, a potato, a corn on the cob, a biscuit, and then an enormous apple turnover that's warm. And then after all of that, they give you a warm rag because you're going to need one. And they give you no silverware, which I've always thought was gross, but that's like the one exception for the whole year to not use silverware is at the Dolly Stampede. So anyways, we were there, and they began to have their little horse show, and at the very end, they do something that I love. They get about 20 American flags, and they begin to ride those American flags all over their stampede area. And I want to tell you this morning that you're blessed. I hope that you know, and I hope that you're proud to be an American citizen. I don't care if you voted for what the president is in there now. That's your president. You need to lift him up in prayer daily. Amen. You need to lift your leadership up in prayer daily, because let me tell you something. At the end of the day, somebody's got to drive the bus. And it ain't easy. It ain't easy driving the bus. But my heart, as I saw those American flags, my heart just kind of swelled up, and I just said, God, thank you. Thank you. Because you know what? We are still free to come into whichever place of worship that we pick and praise and serve the living God. And so I'm thankful this morning. So very thankful. If you'll turn with me now to Psalms chapter 16, we're going to be looking at verse 8. And I always minister out of the overflow of my life, and it's because it's what I know. I've been in church my whole life, and the worst thing is having a pastor preach for an hour that they don't know what they're talking about. No, I'm not referring to my dad. But I have been in church every day my whole life, and I've heard a lot of it. And so I'm just thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm going to begin to pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every single person, God, that's watching on Facebook Live. Lord, for every person that's here in this audience, God, right now, Lord, and for every person, God, in a month from now, they stumble upon this. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now that you said that you've given me authority. So, God, right now, I just proclaim, Lord, and declare that, God, your word, God, is falling on good ground right now. Lord, I thank you that that word goes down deep, God, that it begins to take root, Father God, and that it changes the lives of your children. God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in Psalms chapter 16 and verse 8, we see here, and I used this verse in my message last week, and it's something that it's been on my heart. How many of you know that we live in a very troubled society right now? We do. And yes, we are to be in this world, but not of this world. But how many of you know that at times that's a difficult command? That's a difficult task to not be consumed and horrified and worried and anxious because everything around us is that. It's difficult at times to be in the world, but not of the world. It's difficult at times to not slip into the same thing and the same thinking mentality that the world does. And so Psalms chapter 16 and verse 8, it says here, I have set the Lord always before me. I've set him before me. I've put the living God before what I want to do. I've put the living God before that secret sin that I love to do. I've set God before me. Lord, I don't put anything above you. I want to tell you this morning that we serve a jealous God. He's not going to have any other gods before him. Your spouse can be your God. Your drug of choice can be your God. Your job can be your God. See, the Lord is not going to have any other gods before him. And whatever you put before the living God, those things will pass on. Those things will crumble right in your hand. Because look here, God's not going to be second place. He's not going to be second place. He's not going to be third place. He says, look here, I've given my one and only son. And because of that, I want to be your number one. I want to be in that place where only me and you are. So many people, they know Christ because they was raised in church and they know him through their mama. They know him through their daddy. Let me tell you something. We're living in the last days. You better know him because you know him. You can't be an acquaintance of him whatever. You best know him for yourself. It needs to be an intimate, ongoing, working out your own salvation with fear and with trembling, because let me tell you something. This life is but for a moment. It's but for a moment. Eternity is forever. Eternity is forever. And I'm going to speak to that person, perhaps that you've had a difficult week. Perhaps you're in a difficult season. Perhaps you're in the season and you're in the valley of decision. Perhaps you're in a season where you're struggling. And I want to speak to that person this morning because I want to tell you something. I don't like to stay in those seasons long. I don't like those valleys. I want to be on the blessing side of things. And let me also put in there, they call me Pastor Real Deal, and I'll just tell it like it is. And there's no other way to be. If you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to be a human being, you best just be honest. And I want to say something. I want to just speak from my heart to you for a moment. There's so much things and so many people are so judgmental. If you get sick, well, they must have got sick because they got out of the will of God. This must have happened to them because they done this. Let me tell you something. Sometimes things just happens. The scripture that backs that up, you're not going to find me preaching about something where I can't give you a chapter and a verse. Every pastor should be able to give you a chapter and a verse for what they stand for, what they stand behind, what they minister on. The chapter and the verse, and look here, it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. In this life, in this world, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. When those things happen to you, don't let them get you down to where you're just going to stay down. No, you get back up because you have an overcomer and he's made you an overcomer. And so one of the things. I want to talk to that person that's struggling. I want to talk to that person that's having it difficult right now. And I want to tell you something. Don't have self-condemnation up in that battle. Amen? You're not struggling because you're a terrible person. You're not in a bad season or a hard season because necessarily you did something wrong. Let me tell you something. Some of the worst battles that I've ever faced was not my own doing. But let me tell you something. I serve a God that it didn't matter whether I did it or whether I didn't do it. He scooped me up just the same. And he said, now look here, you're my kid. And because you're my child, I'm putting you back on the mountaintop where you belong. Amen. But I want to minister to that person. Look here, when you struggle, it's not always because you've done something wrong. Sometimes, Megan, when you struggle, baby, it's because you've done something right. And you can't lose sight of that. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of who God is. But there's so many Christians that they're killing off their own because every time something happens, they want to make it, well, Sister Buckethead did something wrong. No. Sister Buckethead's human and stuff just comes up sometimes. I'm not saying when things come up, you don't got to stop for a second and check yourself and say, now, God, am I going through this because I done something? Because if so, Father, help me and help me correct it. You need to ask that question. But look here, God will tell you. God will tell you. If he tells you to correct something, then correct it. But realize this, there's things that sometimes you're going to go through things, and it's just, it's how it is. We don't live in a perfect world. We don't. But we serve a very perfect God. And he's here for you this morning. So I'm going to begin to, out of Scripture, I'm going to begin to plant that seed in your heart this morning. Because, you know, I don't like to see anybody struggle. There's something in me that I can't hardly stand to see somebody hurting or to be struggling. A few weeks ago, I was in a funeral, and I was doing the funeral, and I did not know the lady personally. And it's probably a good thing I didn't. But as I was up there, I began to look at this lady's family, and they were all crying. I can't take that. So I'm up there, and I start crying right up in the middle of their funeral. And I was telling myself, Kelly, you're going to have to pull this together. You're the preacher. You're going to have to get through this funeral. But let me just tell you something. God's got you. God's got you. He sees you, and he sees where you're at. He sees right where we're at. There's not a hair on your head that comes out of your head without him knowing. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground without him knowing. And let me tell you something. There's not one that falls to the ground that he don't approve. He knows it. He knows it. It's hard to wrap our heads around this. And so I'm going to begin to plant this word up in that heart this morning. And I'm going to give you some things. I'm pulling out of the word of God. Look here. The word in the Psalms, David says, Lord, thy word have I placed in my heart. Thy word have I planted. Thy word have I hidden. If you don't have the word in your heart, when troubled times come, you're going to struggle even more because you don't have anything to fall back on. Because you don't have anything to fall back on. And so one of the things that I can say to you is in Psalms chapter 16 and verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. God's got to come before you. If you're in here today and you're struggling, a lot of times when you struggle, you get tempted or triggered to get mad at God. I'm going to tell you, don't get mad at God. Don't blame God. Don't walk away from God. God's got you, and he's got you in the palm of his hand. He will not let you go, but you've got to put him first. He has to be first. On your worst day, when you've had the worst thing happen, he still has to be first. You have to literally every day when you wake up, you have to take God and you have to set him before you. He's got to come before what you want to do. He's got to come before what you want to say. There's so many things. Man, yesterday, I keep it real with you. There was somebody that put something on Facebook, and it offended me. It wasn't y'all. I mean, y'all are all looking like, what did I do last night? It's not y'all. But I got Jeremy. When I get really good and offended, I go for Pastor Jeremy. I said, Jeremy, come here. Sit down. This is going to take a while. I said, I'm offended at such and such that somebody said, because I feel like they was really saying something about me. You notice how everybody's so vague? I'm just the type of girl, if I got it to say it, I'll say it. You won't wonder if it's for you. I'll let you know. And he said, well, Kelly, not everything is about you. Praise God for truth. Amen? But let me tell you something. I wanted to say something so bad. I wanted to do a little tit-for-tat game. I wanted to put something out there just to... Meh. You ever want to meh somebody? You poke me, I'm going to poke you. Look here. God's done brought you too far for that. I had to fight that the whole night. And I said, Lord, please let me post that. He kept saying, don't you get out of my will. You're too blessed. You got too many prayers riding on your behavior. Don't you step out of my will for your life. Look here, in that moment, you got to set God before you. Yeah, would it give you a little self-gratifying little feeling to just get it off your chest and just be as big of a jerk as they were? Absolutely. Absolutely. Will it get you anywhere further? No. What gets you further? Staying in the will of God. Staying in the will of God. Don't let somebody take you and make your behavior somebody that you're not. See, the Lord wants to talk to some people because there's too many people that their whole mood is dictated on whether or not somebody's at peace with them. Let me tell you something right here and right now, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm trying to put something up in your heart so you can know, because look here, you can be the nicest, bestest person in the whole world. But let me tell you something. Not every person is going to be for you. Not everybody's going to like you. That doesn't make you wrong. That doesn't make you right. Everybody has an opinion. You have to be able to go on in your life and not be so consumed with if somebody likes you or not, or if somebody's pleased with you or not. You need to say, God, do you love me? Lord, am I in your will? God, are you pleased with me? Lord, that's all that matters. It's all that matters. Because forward is always forward. You step out of the will of God, you're going to go backwards. Set him before you. Set him before you. Before you go and you do that thing that you've been meditating, you've been contemplating on, say, hold on, I'm going to put God right before me. Because let me tell you something, if somebody's before you, when trouble comes, they're going to hit that, something's going to hit them before it hits you. Look here, God will protect you. A few weeks ago, I said, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. It was on a Monday night. Now, I'm not sure what that is, but if we can turn it off. On a Monday night, I said, God, let me accomplish everything that I need to accomplish in this day. God, protect me as I do what you've called me to do. Well, almost towards the end of that day, somebody said, move over. I felt the Holy Spirit come over me. I stepped over, and in a blink of an eye, bam. See, the devil will like to coordinate some mishaps in your life. You don't want that. You need to be able to hear the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Look here. You got to get to that place where you can hear the voice of God. How are you going to do that? Set God before you. Set him before you. When you're having a bad day, set God before you. And so in verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always, always, not when you feel like it, not when you're having a good day, not when everything's gone right, always, always, always. See, God is looking for consistency in His children. Has God been consistent in your life? Thank you, Brother Tommy. Let me ask that again. Has God been consistent in your life? Has He been a constant? Imitate that. Imitate that. When it rains, you know what I know? There's some people ain't coming. Yeah, I'm stepping on toes. And no, this isn't a service about church attendance, because look here, I'm past that. I'm just speaking a little truth. Always. Always. You know who you are? Who you are on your worst day. That's who you are. That's who you are. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. See, when you put God before you, everything around you could be in total chaos. But see, God's not going to let you be shaken. We're living what I believe is the last days, where everything that can be shaken is being shaken, where families are splitting apart left and right, where sin is in great abundance, where people are calling wrong right. Look here. People can do what they want to, but at the end of the day, there's a day coming where every single knee is going to bow down. Every single tongue. See, the people that believed in Christ, every tongue. The people that didn't believe in Christ, every tongue. They're going to confess and they're going to say, Jesus Christ is real. He's real. He's real. Things are being shaken right now. How many of you have felt that shaking? How many of you have had the temptation this week to walk in fear, to walk in anxiety, to walk in stress, to walk in irritation? See, we're living in a crazy mess. Look here. I know the best fixer-upper mess contender there is. And so let's go now to Psalms chapter 94. And we're going to look at verse 18 and 19. When I said my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. And I want to tell you something. How many of you have ever slipped and fell? My mom's like, me? I'm so glad to have my mama back in this church. God has been faithful. Let me tell you something. I've seen mother go through a lot of things, but I've never seen her leave God. I've never seen her leave God. I've never even seen her be tempted. I've seen her with two casts on her arm, broken arms, broken wrists, rotator cuff, and I've seen her praise God with just like that. Let me tell you something. Can you praise God on your worst day? Can you praise Him on your worst day? When David's son passed away in the Psalms, what did he do? Look here. You know what he did? He went to the house of prayer and he began to praise God. Why? Because you know what? When the worst thing happens, you best be praising God. Because let me tell you something. The Word says, I will bless you at all times. I will praise you, God, at all times. Lord, when everything's going wrong, God, when I'm broken, Lord, when I'm divided in my heart of hearts, God, when I'm so mad at everything that's happened, God, I'm going to praise you, and God, I'm going to bless you, because, Lord, it's not the end of it. My dad and I, we were talking last night, and he always kind of puts me in my place in a way that I can receive that. My husband always says, are you at a point where you can receive something? Probably not. It doesn't sound good. And I was talking to him about something, and I said, well, that didn't work at all. And I was being a Debbie Downer. And he goes, well, it's because it's not done yet. It's not finished. Sometimes there's things that they all look bad. And we're sitting here going, well, that didn't work. Well, serving God didn't work because I'm still in this mess. Or this didn't work. No, let me tell you something. When things don't look like they're working, look here. Stop for a second and say, God, are you done with this situation? Because most of the time, he's not done with it. He's just getting started. And so Psalm 94, it says, when my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. Your love, God, it supported me. Nobody's going to love you quite like Jesus loves you. When you're fallen, maybe you've fallen on hard times. Maybe you've fallen on times where you're broken. Maybe you've fallen on times where you're angry about things. Maybe you've fallen on times where you seem like you just don't know what's up and what's down. Let me tell you something. It's the love of God that's supporting you. It's his love that's supporting you. And in verse 19, it says, when anxiety was great within me, your comfort brought joy to my soul. And I'm not afraid to just tell you things out of my own life. This week I felt just a lot of anxiety. And I can just be transparent about that because only when people can hear true leaders talk about their weaknesses can they realize that, hey, we're all just people here. Amen? And all this week, I was just struggled with one worry or another, one stressor or another. My husband always tells me, Kelly, if you don't have anything to worry about, you'll find something. And I just, my biggest problem is that I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be whole. I want everybody to be healthy. I want everybody to have a good life. And you know, you can want all these things for all these people, but until they want it for themselves. And so as I came across this verse, I just began to feel the presence of God. And I'm going to read it again. When anxiety was great within me. See, it's not a weakness to say I'm having trouble with such and such. So many things have gone on in the church at large where we've gotten into this little game where I'm okay, you're okay business. And see, that's really not how it is. Confess your faults one to another. See? Confess them. Get them out of there. When anxiety was great within me, your comfort brought joy to my soul. And I want to minister to that person where you've felt stress, where you've felt anxiety, where you've felt alone. And I want to tell you that God has never been more closer. That he loves you so much that you're important. He hasn't left for a moment. He's not going to. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tomorrow, he's going to be that same good God. His mercies, they're new every morning. They're not going away. His grace is sufficient for you. It's not going away either. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Keep your head up, your eyes straight ahead, and your focus fixed on what is in front of you. We were up there in Branson, and we went to a little water park. And I always feel better when I go to this particular water park. Because I'm the best mama-looking mama there. And me and my husband, they got the best thing up there. It's a pool, a pretty good sized pool, but it's a hot tub. And I was like, oh, thank the Lord. I'm going to get up in this pool where nobody knows me and I don't know nobody. And I'm just going to relax. Well, that's a pretty big job for me to relax. I'm not the most relaxed person. I'm very high strung. And like I said, if there's somebody or something I can worry about, that's what I'm going to do, even if I don't know them. And so we got up in this pool, and there was this little beautiful little blonde-headed, blue-eyed little girl, and she was probably about 3 years old. And I'm always looking. When children are around me, it doesn't matter if they're my children. If I don't see their parents around them, I'm going to be watching that kid. You know, and so we were up there, and me and Jeremy were sitting together. They had a little ledge. You stepped into the pool, and that ledge is what you sat on. And then if you got off of the ledge, the water was 3 feet deep. And then it had the bubbles going, which made it appear a little deeper. So I get to watching this little girl, and Jeremy was talking. We were just, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but this little girl was walking around that ledge where you sit. And I said to myself, I said, that little girl is going to get off where she can't stay above water. And I knew it in my spirit. I knew that was fixing to happen. And sure enough, this beautiful little blonde-headed, blue-eyed little girl, she stepped over, and when she did, she went to the very middle of that pool, and all I could see was her little nose trying to keep it above water. And here's Jeremy talking, and Van, I got out there, and I grabbed that little girl, and I brought her straight up, and then I brought her to me. And I looked at that little girl, and here's what she was looking for. She was looking for her mama. I looked around, and I started looking at all the women, and I was looking for a woman that was looking for her baby. Finally, I saw the moment that they locked eyes. And I gave that baby to her mama. Let me tell you something. I'm going to read you that verse again. Because, see, some of us, we are that little girl. You don't want to step out of the comfort of God. You don't want to step out of the will of God. You don't want to step off in the deep end where all you got your nose up and the bubbles are coming up and troubles are coming and all this stuff. See, you don't want to go there. And it says, keep your head up. Keep your head up. There's so many things in this life that want to knock you down and make you drag your head. Well, I made a mistake. Well, I messed up. Well, I done this and I done that. Look here. God says, because you're mine, I want you to keep your head up. Your posture needs to be standing. Does the Word of God say when you've done all you can do, sit down and roll over and give up? No. The Word of God says when you've done it all, stand up. That's all you got to do is stand. And see, we're reading here in the Word where the Word says, keep your head up. Keep your eyes straight ahead and your focus fixed on what is in front of you. Child of God, what did we just read? What did we just read in Psalms chapter 16 and verse 8? Set always before you, Jesus. I'm going to go back and read it verbatim. I have set the Lord always before me. See, when you wake up every morning and you say, God, this is your day, I'm setting you before me. And see, and then in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25, keep your head up, your eyes straight ahead, and your focus fixed on what is in front of you. What's in front of you? God. When you've done what you're supposed to do, you've set God before you, and the Word says, keep your eyes straight ahead on what's in front of you, that's going to be God. He's going to be in front of you. When troubles come, those troubles are hitting the living God before they're hitting you. Take care that you don't stray from the straight path, the way of truth, and you will safely reach the end of your road. How do you want to reach the end? Safely. How many of you want to finish strong? finish your race and finish it strong. God's got enough grace for you to do that. Don't let the troubles of this life overtake you to the point where you can't finish strong. Look here, child of God, He has not brought you this far to let you be a failure. He hasn't brought you this far for you to feel inadequate. He hasn't brought you this far for you to feel like you're the scum of the earth. He's brought you this far because He's got a great and mighty plan for your life. He's brought you this far because, look here, it's not done until He says it's done. You know when it's done? When you give your last breath. See, how do you want to finish? How do you want to finish? God will allow things to happen to you, to happen in front of you. He'll make divine appointments come about. Why? So we can narrow in our prayer life. A couple Monday nights ago, I took them sheets and I looked at my legs and I began to pray a more accurate prayer. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, let me die an old woman. God, I want to see my children's children's children. Daddy God, I want to sit on the pew of Paris Christian Center, and I want to see my babies preach your word. See, what do you want to finish like? When the devil tries to get you to accept that failure, to accept that kid never coming to know God that you're so worried about, look here, don't accept it. Don't accept it. A couple weeks ago, they were wanting to give me an appraisal for my house, and they had a certain person. I had a check in my spirit. I said, I'm not accepting those people coming over. I want somebody else. You put me back up in that pool. I'm not accepting that. Look here, you better listen to God. How you want to finish this thing called your life? See, it's your life. It's your life. That's why you put God in front of you. How far can you get without Christ? Set Him before you. Set Him before you. Set Him before you. Take care that you don't stray from the straight path, the way of truth, and you will safely reach the end of your road. Do not veer off course to the right or to the left. Step away from evil and leave it behind. Step away from it. Step away from it. Leave it behind. And I want to say something to some folks. Leave it behind. Leave it behind. Don't take yesterday's failures into today. The devil tries so hard to get people living in any day except for the current day. He'll get you living in your past, regretting every wrong thing that you've ever done. And then when that's over, he'll get you to stressing and dreading the future. You're too blessed to be stressed about tomorrow. Who's in tomorrow already? God. He's already in tomorrow. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You know, this year, when this year first started, I made a mental note. How many of you make mental notes? Good. That means you're thinking about your life and where you want it to go. And I made a mental note. After surviving COVID-19, a year worth of that. And God said, Kelly, what have you learned? And I said, God, I've learned that you are so faithful. God, when everything looked so beyond what I could do, God, you stepped in and you made the impossible possible. God, I've learned that you're faithful. Lord, I've learned that you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. See, what have you learned up to this point? When that stuff tries to come on you, when you're trying to go to bed at night and all of a sudden all those racing thoughts want to come to you then, What have you learned? Have you learned that God's never late? He's never late. Now, he's not going off of your itinerary. It's his timing. And we have to be at peace with the timing of God. And that's a difficult thing to do. And one of the mental notes that I made for this year was this right here. Lord, I'm going to try to only do the things that you want me to do. And that's very difficult for me. Because I'm like a squirrel. If there's something to get up into, I'm going to get into it. I love doing things and I love to stay busy. How many of you know you can be too busy? That's great to do nice, wonderful things. Unless it's getting you to step out of the will of God for your life. How many of you know that one of the things that God really, really wants for you is for you to be rested? For you to be able to feel His peace. His peace. You can't feel that when you're going 90 to nothing and you're doing all this stuff He didn't call you to do. So one of the things that I thought I want to do is I want to take more time and I want to be with my family, my immediate, my two boys and my husband. Because here's what I realize more than ever is that it's short. And when I look back, I don't want to look back and say, I wish I would have spent more time with them. I want to look back and I want to say, God, thank you for the time that I had. So that's where the Dolly Stampede come in 3 times this year. I don't feel more blessed than when I'm eating a whole chicken in the dark with nobody watching me. And I can go somewhere where I'm not Pastor Kelly. I'm just somebody. And some days I'm like, Lord, just let me be somebody. Just let me go and let me be somebody where nobody notices me. And they don't, you have your days, okay? So I said, I want to spend more time with my family, God. Teach me how to do that. Because I'm real bad at doing everything and my family coming last. And that's an area in my life where I'm working to correct that because it's not right. Amen? So we've been to Branson several times. And my husband, he knows me, I think probably better than anybody on the planet knows me. He knows me very well, and he truly is my better half. I can tell you that every day of the week. And he said, Kelly, does anybody else get hangry? I get super hangry. When I'm hungry, you don't want to mess with me. I turn into a terrible person. And if I need a nap, I also turn into a very terrible person. I don't do well with hunger, and I've been that way my whole life. When I was little and my mom used to take my sister shopping, let me tell you something, you don't want to go shopping with Casey unless you want to pull an all-dayer. And I'm not talking about 12 hours. I'm talking more like 18 hours, okay? And she'll try on black pants, and she'll have her 27 pairs of black pants, and she won't like none of them. And then she's like, we're going to go to JCPenney. We're going to try on 27 more black pants. And every time we would hear that we were going shopping, I would cry. And Mom would say, what's the matter? I'm hungry. You're going to have to feed me. And my parents said, you would always cry when you got hungry because you needed to know that you was going to be fed. And so it's hot. I was trying to be responsible, and I was wearing my mask. And I was getting hotter. And then I got my kids a snow cone. because I want to be the good mom that lets them have sugar. Well, the one kid, he dumped it all down the side of me, and it went in my toes, and I was sticky all day long, and I was in a bad mood. Then his sandal broke. Let me tell you something. Look at Colton's foot when you see that child. He's got a fat foot. Try finding a sandal for that kid. Ain't going to happen. So then we're responsible for reshoeing this kid. And my shoes are sticky. And I don't like to be dirty. And I look like a smurf because the icy was blue. And I got blue everywhere. And I said, Jeremy, I just need to know, because I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. Is this my veins or is this the snow cone? Because I got to know. Because if this is my veins, we're going to have to get them fixed or something. This ain't going good for me. He goes, Kelly, that's your veins. And I was going, oh, my God. I'm getting older. And so he says, I have something that's going to make this all better. And I thought, praise God, because I'm about to flip that switch, and it's not going to be good. He said, Kelly, I want to take you to get some lunch at the new Paula Deen restaurant, honey. I said, I like Paula Deen. I want to go. Yes, let's go. Well, he didn't tell me it was at the very end of the whole place. So I got this fat-footed child who, and I'm sticky, and then I've got Colton, and we've got these new sandals. They don't fit because he's got a chunky foot, and so we look like the most dysfunctional family going down to the Paula Deen restaurant that's all swanky, and it's pretty, and it's decorated, and all this stuff. So here we go, and I'm hangry at that point. I'm not being nice, and I'm not being have. We get up in there. And we finally sit down, and we had to wait, and I don't like to wait for things, and I certainly don't like to wait to eat because I've already got myself worked up. We sit down, and all of a sudden, I start looking around. And I thought, ooh, these wall colors are so calming. Then I started looking. I thought, I want to decorate my house like this. And then I started to calm down. And then we get this nice little waiter, and he's just so sweet. And I love sweet people because they challenge me to be nicer. And he said, have you ever been to Paula Deen's restaurant? I said, nope. He said, well, we do things a little differently here. We serve this family style. And I said, well, what is family style? He said, we're going to let you pick out a few entrees. You can have some ribs. You can have some meatloaf. He started naming off all these wonderful things. He said, but we're going to serve this to your family. And they began to bring out these big dishes of this stuff, family style, like you were sitting at your own kitchen table. And then my crazy self, I felt a wave of something come over me. And I thought, oh, Lord, I'm about to pull a real crazy. So then I get teary-eyed. And I'm trying to not let Jeremy know I'm teary-eyed. But the man knows me way too well. So I started looking off. And I just went and looked directly at him. Because I'm trying not to appear crazy. Because I've just been terrible all day. And then tears just started coming down my face. And the Lord just began to speak. Kelly, you asked me for family time. I've given you what you've asked for. And you've let anxiety fill up this heart. And Kelly, I'm going to ask you to correct that. Right here, right now, at this dinner table, with these ribs and this chicken and these mashed potatoes, because Kelly, life is very short. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. And as I was sitting there in that restaurant, I just began to talk to God, and I said, God, help me to trust you. Lord, help me to be in perfect peace. Because, Father in heaven, you are not intimidated by any of my problems. So, God, get me in check. See, God never called you to be here and to be unhappy every moment that you was here. He wants you to be happy. And he wants you to be whole. And he wants to give you what you've asked for. And he wants you to finish strong. I'm going to have Daddy and Casey come on up here. They're going to begin to sing, and I'm going to just keep on ministering to you. See, God cares exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. See, he cares about what you're going through. And so it says here in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. And I want to talk to that person this morning that you've had a struggle keeping your peace. You've had struggle keeping your peace. You've struggled to keep your joy. You're that little girl, and you keep saying, I'm just trying to keep my head above water, and I feel like I'm just drowning. God wants to minister to you. Because let me tell you something. The word says, Lord, when I felt myself slipping, it was your love that comforted me. It was your love that caught me. Can God love on you this morning? Can he love on you this morning? Can he put peace in that troubled heart this morning? Amen. When anxiety was great within me, your comfort brought joy to my soul. And I want to tell you this morning that God's here to comfort. That's all he wants to do. He's here to comfort. If that person has been you and you're ready to lay that down, I'm going to ask you to come up here. I want to pray for you. If you don't feel comfortable coming up and you want prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you're at and I'll come to you.